Okay.
All right, everybody, welcome, welcome. It is time for another Toolbox Tuesday.
Yeah, so we're going to continue on with the biggest part of our practices, which is our training program, our first 400 program, and kind of getting in some of the nitty gritty about some of the steps we take in the following weeks after week one.
So if you have not been with us before, Toolbox Tuesday in our practices is the theme of our huddle on Tuesdays. So we pick one of the tools in our many resources in our asset arsenal that we have available and make sure that everyone is on the same page with what that specific resource is. So this is part two of our first 400. If you have not heard about our first 400 program, that is what we call our training program. It accelerates our training time from 6 months to 60 days with new team members, whether they have dental experience or not. And we are focusing on our front office team members right now, going through week by week in real time how our onboarding goes with someone.
Right. So I think last week we talked about things like the checklists and kind of getting the team on board and accountability, some of the things that works the team members are expected to start doing week one, just to get them used to what their role will be for the ongoing future. And this week we're going to kind of get into a little bit more of that.
Well, we really have a philosophy we've talked about before that we need team members who are going to be participatory members of the team from day one. You know, yes, they might not have all the answers right away, but we're not hiring someone to just be a decoration in the corner. We need them to be part of the team that is helping ultimately drive production. That is the end goal of everyone's role in the process.
Right, right.
So week two, we are starting with the treatment presentation. Now, this is not to say that we aren't introducing someone to this in week one, but we have this broken down by week of when they should have these specific skills mastered. And we look at mastery as being able to do it independently and then being able to teach someone else how to do it. So all of our team members are cross-trained to do treatment presentations. A big part of this is from a flow standpoint. If we only have one person who is the treatment coordinator and they're the only person who can present treatment plans and then they go to lunch, what happens to your treatment presentation? So we want to make sure front office, back office, you know, front office is tied up, back office can help with this. Everyone is comfortable talking about the treatment that is needed and having some of those financial conversations with patients.
Yeah. This is a big hurdle for a lot of people. Is the financial conversations, the planning, the getting in front of people and explaining to them that these things cost money, and which is also one of the most critical things we do in our practices too. So, because if we're not going to have the confidence and the skills to present a treatment plan, we're not going to get treatment on the schedule. We're not going to be doing our job for our doctors or our bonuses, the rest of our team, things like that. So this is such a critical part of it. And that's why we start so early.
And breaking down just the intimidation factor of going in to present a treatment plan to a patient. Yes, you're talking about finances with the patient. And sometimes people are afraid that, well, I don't want to tell them that they need a crown. Number one, you're not the first person who told them they needed a crown. A doctor already did that in their exam, showed them in the intraoral photos, let the facts be the hitman. But you didn't break their teeth. You didn't decay their teeth, right? We're not apologizing for the treatment that they need. Right. That's not to say that we're being monsters about it and we're not being sensitive about it, but we're here to help them. We're the healers. We're not the ones that created the problem. So trying to get people to build up that confidence right off the bat, again, putting them maybe in some of those more challenging situations, we need to know if they're going to be able to do that sooner rather than later, because we can't go through the first 6 months with someone and they're so afraid of doing a treatment presentation that then all of a sudden they're asked to do one and they completely crumble.
Right, right. And this is all about getting them used to things. So, and if they can do them in the very beginning, it's reasonable to have someone kind of right there doing it with them. If this is month six, we just can't afford to have two people in every job. Right. Like then, this is why we start so early, because we're part of the training program in the initial few weeks. People are kind of helping them. They're holding their hand through a lot of these issues, through a lot of these tactics and strategies. And we need to have them be onboarded very quickly.
Scheduling is another one. We need them to understand the way that our scheduling goes. Again, this is driving production. I do not want a situation where a patient calls to schedule an appointment, a new team member is answering the phone, and they can't help them schedule that appointment.
Right.
They need to be able to understand the basics. We have block scheduling. Again, it's color coordinated. We have a cheat sheet for it. They need to be able to help that patient schedule an appointment. They can certainly confirm with a new team member, but even from a patient perspective, if you call an office and that team member can't schedule an appointment for you, you assume that's one of the basics of a front office role. So why can't you schedule that appointment? We need that from a flow standpoint.
Yeah, absolutely.
Emergency appointments. These are also things that, again, we take for granted that a lot of new team members are very intimidated by. A patient called with an emergency, and I'm saying that in air quotes, for those that are listening and not watching. Everyone is different as far as emergencies are concerned. We literally have had patients who have lost tooth, 3 weeks ago, and you didn't call. And then we have a patient who has a rough spot on their tooth, and they're calling the emergency line overnight because they think that that's, an emergency. So teaching them on the questions that we ask, both again from a flow standpoint, but also to help patients don't know sometimes, right? And to help relieve some of that anxiety for a patient that, hey, but yes, we're going to get you in, but you don't have to come in the next hour. It's going to be okay, or if a patient loses a temporary crown or the temporary crown comes off, again, yes, we want to get them in and have that re-cemented, but they're not going to die if they have to wait until lunchtime to come in. And that scripting can help reassure those patients so much, or post-op sensitivity. Sometimes patients haven't had a filling in 10 years and their tooth's a little sensitive. They think the tooth is dying. Let's make sure that they're not going off the deep end unnecessarily.
Yeah, and that's a huge one, is the skill and the confidence and the experience, honestly, to understand what is and what is not true emergency. And that sometimes only happens with experience. And our goal is to kind of fold time for these people and kind of give the collective experience from everyone in our group and download or upload it into this new hire, this person we're onboarding, so that they can, not have to struggle through those phone conversations, not have to struggle through those patient interactions where it might not be something they have to get in right away. A temporary popping off is not something where someone has to come lights and sirens over right now. That we do want to get that resolved in a very timely manner, but that is not an emergency, middle of the night situation. So
And our doctors who are on call appreciate that. No one
yes,
wants to call in the middle of the night for something that isn't a true emergency. Okay, form review. We want to make sure that patients, if they have questions on filling out their forms, or we do our dental questionnaire, especially for our new patients in advance, just to learn a little bit more about them and what they're coming in for. We want our team to understand the questions behind the questions. And we have a whole cheat sheet about why are we asking these questions. It's because we're trying to set the stage for before they come in for their exam appointment and some of the treatments they might be interested in. Or if a patient has interest in aesthetics, but they might be embarrassed to ask about aesthetics, it's another way for us to start to build that relationship. And we're very big on communication, front office, back office to doctors. We don't want a patient to tell an entire story to the front office that isn't put in their chart and then communicated to back office. We've all been in those situations in a medical office where you tell the front office why you came in. And then the medical assistant comes back and you say it again. And then the doctor walks in the door and asks, why are you here? That's frustrating for everyone and it's inefficient for everyone. So how do we make sure we have that closed loop communication?
yeah, it's that is one of the most important parts of our practices is the communication. And it's something that when you get used to the communication and how good it can be and how consistent it can be, when you don't have little bits and pieces, it's that much more disruptive. And so that's not a reason to say that we shouldn't be good communicators and we shouldn't practice good communication. It's just to show that how critical and how much we rely on that communication, not just from the front to back, but between doctors, between us to our team members, things like that. It's really, really critical, and it's something patients notice, and they notice it very quickly. And so when you tell a front office person something, and that is immediately relayed to the back office and doctor, and you realize when you go into an office that everyone's on the same page and they're talking, even when they're not with you guys at the same time, not with their patients at the same times, it's very impressive, and it gives us this image that the systems are buttoned up. And that's whether they are or not in a certain situation, giving that confidence to the patient is huge. One, in making them and allowing them to move forward with treatment, and then also just having them feel comfortable that what you're telling them is you've researched it, you know what you're talking about, and the whole team is on the same page. It just gives them more confidence in being treated in the office.
Week two is where the objections start to come in, which I this these are really going to be the hot takes of this series. And yes, it happens at week two. Everyone is on their best behavior week one. It's all rah-rah. We're in honeymoon phase in week one. And week two, it starts. Week two is usually where I see new team members start to panic. It's a ton of information, it's new technology, new protocols. And they're going, what have I gotten myself into? Our team is a very gregarious group. There's a lot of us, there's a lot of energy running around, and it's great. And we're a lot. there's a lot of personalities, there's a lot of things. We have our pathway vernacular we talk about all the time, and our custom emojis and this and that. And we welcome new people into the fold, but it's a lot to process. Even people who have dental experience, we always welcome people to come in with suggestions, even from other industries, but we always request that they learn our processes first and then they make their suggestions. Learning the processes is not always the easiest thing right off the bat. If someone has had prior, I call it front of the house experience, sometimes they have a false sense of security when they are realizing they're talking with patients who are not super excited to be there, right? A front of the house that someone's coming into the steakhouse to celebrate a birthday dinner is different than front of the house, someone coming in for an extraction that they would rather not have to deal with, right? So realizing the customer service aspect of things. Yes, there's going to be patients who are unhappy about something. That also is not every single patient that walks through the door. And we all can be guilty of that one patient. And it seems like, again, talk about a hazing experience. It seems like our new team members inevitably, within the first couple of weeks, have the patient just go off on them who's completely unhinged, right? It happens once or twice a year, and they're the one who gets it. But I'm like, hey, that's the worst that you're going to have. Let's not focus on that one patient. Let's remember the other 19 happy patients that you helped today so that it's not just about the negative experience, because you're going to have that no matter what industry you are in, especially in this post-COVID world. Customer service has become even more challenging. So let's just take a step back and realize where patients are coming from. I'm not saying that that excuses bad behavior, but we really work hard with the team to put it in perspective for them also.
Right. Absolutely.
Collecting payments in office, we've talked about finances. There are so many offices who don't have this in place, or it's just the billing department handles this. So that could be something that's new. All of the resources that we have can be overwhelming for people. And I again remind them that this is the reason why we have this week by week checklist. We're not expecting people to have everything right off the bat. We're setting an order of priorities. You don't have to go through every module and every video and all of that by the end of day two. What we are looking for is progress over perfection. And if there is something that they need a little bit more time to focus on, that's fine as long as we're not just rehashing the same thing over and over again and we're not seeing any improvement.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just having them from the very beginning, this is such a critical or an important part of our culture, is the looking at kind of where we came from aspect and looking how much we've progressed. And I really think it's important to kind of instill that into the team members and the new team members right off the bat and say, hey, I mean, even if it's just a week and a half in, look at how much we've already learned already. Look at how far along. I mean, a lot of times at this point, they're almost getting chair side. They're talking to patients. You know, they're really starting to do the things that they're going to be expected of doing, you know, ongoing. And that's huge. And these are people that came in with zero dental experience usually. They're already getting chair side right off the bat. We have a rule in our office, the doctors and the patients cannot know that you're training. And obviously the doctors are gonna have a little bit of awareness because it's a new face right there. But if they're just seeing hands kind of go back and forth and different things going back and forth, there really should be no difference, right? With you know, someone that's chair side the first week or two always has someone right next to them to kind of guide them, point them, and what to hand. But we really, really think it's important to kind of look at where they started and look at where they are now ongoing, just so they can have a little bit of motivation kind of going forward. Because it's not, you know, if we're always looking at kind of what we haven't accomplished, it's always going to be daunting. It's always going to be depressing. And we need to look at kind of where we came from primarily.
And, I remind team members that at this point, 100% of our existing team came to us without any dental experience.
Right.
We've always been very open to that because our feeling is you can learn anything that you set your mind to, and experience is not the end all be all. If someone doesn't give you a chance to gain that experience, you're never going to have an opportunity to build a career. And we've had some of our best team members come to us without any experience with that right mindset and have gone up the ranks. So I remind our new team members of that conversation that I have with them at the very first interview that it's not going to happen overnight. And hey, you wanted a chance, you wanted a career change, and we're here to help you with that. We're all in this together, right? You got to meet us halfway. We know that there's a lot of effort that's involved on both sides of things, but we have living, breathing dozens of examples of how you can come on the other side. But the people working next to you have come to the other side, and reminding our existing team members to use that as a tool for encouragement for their new team members as well.
Absolutely.
Well, this is going to be a continued conversation. Next week, we are going to start talking about communications and the role that that plays in the first 400 program. In the meantime, if you would like to connect with us on how we can help your offices build a team training program, you can reach out. Our email is connect@pathwaydentalsolutions.com. Our website is pathwaydentalsolutions.com, and we are on all of the social media platforms as well. So in the meantime, we will see you back next week for another Toolbox Tuesday.
All right, guys, until next time, see you later.